Today is Mother's Day. If you ever had a mother, would you raise your hand? Mothers are so important. And we want to celebrate a few of the newer mothers in here, and we're going to have some baby dedication time. And so we are going to invite up Nate and Jana. Where are you? What could possibly be the youngest baby that we've ever had for dedication? Little Gage. Can I hold Gage? Oh, don't cry. Now, Gage and I have a special bond because we share a birthday. Yes, you're with. When we were talking about when he was going to be born, I said, you know, May 5th is a great day to be born. Thank you for accommodating me. That's great. Well, now Gage has actually four names. It's Gage,
Nathan,
Taylor,
Shepherd.
Any more?
That's it.
That's a lot of names for a little guy, but he, I think, can handle it.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he can, especially if he grows up to be like Dad. Well, you know, we've done this before. Mm-hmm. Are we going to keep doing this?
No,
we'll talk about
it.
That. That's it. Okay. We'll just make this an annual event. I mean, let's just have the shepherds up every May. I know. Nate and Jana, you know, the Bible tells us that, you know, the babies are a blessing, and that like an arrow in a quiver, that they're placed in our life, and like an arrow, once they're shot off, we can't control them. But while we're still here, while they're still in our house, we have the privilege to lead and to teach them. And so I'm asking you today, will you dedicate yourself as husband and wife and as mom and dad to raising Gage in a Christian home?
Yes.
Church family. It takes more than just two to raise a child. Hopefully over the years that we'll see Gage running around here. And will you guys help the shepherds as they raise this little one in Christ?
Yes.
Then let's pray and dedicate Gage. Heavenly Father, thank you for this blessing. Thank you for just bringing him into our lives. And we just ask right now that you would help us to have the wisdom, the strength to guide and direct him in the way that you would want him to go. May he hear your voice. May he have your heart. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. Jason and Sarah, would you bring Eli up here? Oh! Now, earlier you were... can I hold you? No, okay. All right, little monkey man. Okay, now you're smiling. Jason, Sarah, yeah, I know, I'm right here. Are you going to help? No. Do you promise to raise Eli up in a Christian home?
Yes.
Church family, I ask the same thing. Will you help them as we watch Eli grow up here at church?
Yes.
I think he's going to need some extra help, too. He's a little mischievous here. Yeah. Well, let's pray and dedicate him. Heavenly Father, we just lift up Eli, and we just thank you for bringing him here into our lives. We just ask that you would just help his parents to raise him, to guide him, to teach him. Help us to help him hear your voice, to have your heart, and to follow you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Yes.
All right, little monkey. Zach and Danielle. How's Kason this morning?
Oh, he's tired.
He's tired?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not even going to
try. His favorite part's done.
His singing. Wait a second. His favorite part? What do you mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry. He likes to sing in bed.
Okay.
Oh! He's a lady.
Where? I see. Okay. I thought usually these guys liked it because I usually put them to sleep, but. Well, Kason. Kason, I love that name. I love your shorts, Kason. That's really cute.
Thank you.
Oh, there is a smile. Danielle and Zach, do you guys promise to raise Kason in a Christian home?
Yes.
Church family, will you help them as they raise Kason?
Yes.
Well, let us dedicate this little guy. You got little Sperry's on? Man, you're better dressed than I am. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending Kason into our lives. I just pray that you would just help us to help him to hear your voice, to have your heart, to raise him in a way that he will follow you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Say bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to the Old Testament. We're going to take a look at a story that some of us know, maybe new for others, in the book of Ruth. In the book of Ruth. And it hides right behind Judges, so if you skip over it, it's okay. It's right there. And I chose this today as we want to talk about Mother's Day, and we talk about mothers. There's a lot of mothers in the Bible that we could talk about, but I was thinking this year about Naomi. About Naomi. Let me tell you this story real quick. The story of Ruth is this, that Naomi and her husband, who are Jews, they're Israelites, that due to some circumstances have to leave the country because of the famine, and it just wasn't good for them there. And so they took their sons and they went to Moab. And while there, their sons grew up and married some Moabite women. And things were good for a long time. And then, and doesn't tell us why, but for some reason, Naomi's husband passed away. And then both of her sons passed away. And about that time, they had news that things were better back in Israel, so they decided to go back to her homeland. And so she goes, and when she leaves, her daughter-in-laws want to go with her. And at first, they start off with her on this trip, and she tells her, go back. Go back to your people. Go find you a new husband. And one of them does, but Ruth sticks with Naomi. We have a passage there. Many of us here, actually, most of the time at a wedding where it's like, my people will be your people. Wherever you go, I will go. And so she goes with Naomi back to Israel. Now, in Israel, they had a kind of a practice was for those who did not have people to provide, they could provide for themselves by going back behind the gatherers, behind the collection of the harvest, and pick up what was left. That was kind of the way that they provided for the needy at the time. And so when they get back to Israel, it's the time of the harvest, and Naomi tells Ruth, go out and go to a certain field, and as they harvest it, they will leave some behind. You gather together, and we will collect that, and that's what we will survive on. And so Naomi tells Ruth that, and Ruth follows her commands. And she goes to a certain field, and she catches the eye of a guy by the name of Boaz. It's a good name, right? Boaz. Boaz is like, who's that? It's kind of a loose translation there, but it says it catches his eye. And he tells everybody, he's like, don't bother her. In fact, when you're gleaning before her and you know that she's following you, leave a few more than you normally would. And he does this, and then he invites her to come in and eat when they're all kind of having their break time. And he goes, she goes back and tells Naomi what's going on. She's like, man, I don't know what's going on. I got to this thing. This guy comes up to me. He's been talking to me. His name is Boaz. And Naomi gets super excited. And she says, that is really great news because he is a distant relative, a close relative of ours. He is our guardian or our kinsman redeemer. He can redeem us. He can give us a place back in society. And so she tells Ruth, she goes, here's what you're going to do. Tonight, they're going to be going, and the guys have this like ritual where they're going to grind some of the first fruits, and they're going to have a little kind of a dinner party, and he's going to be there hanging out. What I need you to do is, I need you to wear your best dress. I need you to get dressed up. I mean, prom kind of, let's do the hair. Ruth is looking really nice. And she goes back, and she waits till the guys have their little party. And she waits until Boaz kind of lays down, and she goes over and takes care of him. And he says, I want to redeem you. But there's somebody closer related than I am. And so he waits until the next day, and he goes and talks to this other guy, and he says, hey, and I love how he does this. He says, you remember Naomi's husband and his boys, how they passed away? Mm-hmm. Remember all that land? Yeah. Well, Naomi's back in town, and she's offering that land up for sale. And the other closer relative says, yeah, I'll take it. And he goes, well, here's the catch, though, is that there's this young lady named Ruth who's a Moabite, and if you take the land, you got to take the girl. And the other guy says, nah, no thanks. I got enough headaches of my own. Actually, he says, I am married and I do not think it would set well in my household. And so they do this strange thing where they exchange sandals. It's a true story. And they make a pact. And Naomi sends Ruth back, and Ruth and Boaz get married, and they live happily ever after. Isn't that a pretty story? There's a couple of things that I think that we can glean from the story of Naomi and Ruth about motherhood. And the very first thing is this, that motherhood is not restricted by birth. It is not just the physical act of giving birth that makes a person a mother. Motherhood is an attitude. It is a heart issue. And I'm basing this on the fact that it's obvious that they love Naomi. This is their mother-in-law. Let me state that again. This is their mother-in-law. Not that mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws can't get along. I'm blessed that we have that situation in our home. But I've heard the stories, right? Just watch Real Housewives of Atlanta and we have this story of this picture of this beautiful thing where Naomi, who comes in from another country, they have these two girls who grow up with their sons, and they marry, and they struggle, and they have this bond. And in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, it says that they wept aloud. They wept aloud. Ruth and the other girl, which name is slipping my mind right now. But they loved Naomi. And they wept that they wanted to go with her. Now, I don't know, it doesn't tell us why Naomi was such a great mother. But obviously, she did something that instilled a bond with them and care and love. And it had nothing to do about giving birth. It was just simply her attitude, her servanthood. In verses 16 and 17, when the other daughter had gone back to her people and Ruth is clinging to Naomi. This isn't just like I get along with my mother-in-law. Oh, I just kind of like her. This is I love you. And that's where we get this verse of, wherever you go, I am going to go and your people will be my people. I am your daughter. I love you. Motherhood is not restricted by birth. It is not something that happens just because you physically carried that child. Now, I know that from experience with my own wife and our own kids that there's a special bond that takes place there. I have also seen many parents who have adopted, who have brought people in to their home that they never officially change their name or bring them into their home legally, but they care for them and they raise them. Many of you may have family members that did that. It's not uncommon. And it has nothing to do with birth. It is about an attitude. Motherhood is not restricted by birth. The other thing is that motherhood promotes the best interest of others. The best interest of others. In Ruth chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, Naomi said to her daughter-in-laws, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. It indicates right there that they had a mother. They have a physical mother still living. And she says to them, may the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant each of you that you will find rest in the home of another husband. In other words, may God bless you and may He provide for you. I know that this is going to be what's best for you. In verses 12 and 13, Naomi says this, return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband, even if I thought that there was still hope for me. Even if I had a husband tonight and gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? I mean, she's being really realistic right here. Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. And this is really telling of Naomi's heart. It is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has turned against me. There was a special bond right here. But she still says what is best for you needs to happen. It is a bitter pill for me to leave you. Isn't that what moms do though? Right? Four people in the family, three pieces of pie. Who gets left out? Whoever's slowest. No, it's usually mom, right? No, I'm full. Has your mom ever told you that one? No, and the whole time her stomach's grumbling. Every year, back to school, what do the kids get? New outfits, new shoes. Mom's like, oh, this old outfit, it's still good. I'll wear it one more year. Moms just do that, don't they? Dads don't. Dad's like, I'm taking the biggest piece of pie. And I dare anybody to get between me and the plate. Men, can I get an amen? Thank you. I knew, Bill, I could get one for you on that. My dad used to do a thing. If there's like one thing left, like a hot dog or a hamburger or something like that, he would pick it up and lick it. And he goes, now, does anybody want this last one? And when we were littler, that worked. But when you hit teenage years, I don't care. We are going to wrestle for that thing. Never. If there was a last hamburger or hot dog, my mom, of course, always. You babies have that. They always put the interests of others ahead. That's what motherhood is about. It's a innate thing. I watch this in moms. And it's not just like Western culture, it's Eastern culture. It's around the world. A mom will move heaven and earth and do whatever for their child. They put the interest of their kids ahead of themselves. Another thing that we see in Naomi that requires in motherhood is that she has wisdom, practicality, and shrewdness. Don't let moms fool you. Oh, they're sweet. They'll let you have the last piece of pie because they know how to make another pie. Oh, they let you go out with your friends, teenagers. But they have the tracking device on their phone that's knowing exactly where you're at. There's a new device that just came out that you can plug into your car and you can track where your child has been driving, how fast they go, how that they brake. Praise God they did not have that when I was a teenager. My mom already had the PTA network. Like, that was bad enough. Motherhood requires wisdom, practicality, and shrewdness. Motherhood takes a ham that's supposed to be for four people and feeds eight. She takes one can of green beans, and like the bread and loaves, it just keeps going. Now, it doesn't work with M&Ms for some reason. But green beans, they just keep coming. She is wise, practical, and shrewd. Here's how Naomi does it. She shows wisdom. In chapter 2, verse 20, she recognizes Boaz as her kinsman redeemer. Now, the kinsman redeemer, in case we're not familiar, let me just kind of give you a short synopsis of what the kinsman redeemer, the idea behind it was this. That when Israel was leaving Egypt and they were moving into their new nation, they were forming the nation of Israel. God laid out all these ideas and all these plans, and here's how you're going to pass the land down from generation to generation and then from father to son to father to son. And that's what I love about the Bible. There was this one guy, he says, I got a question. I have two daughters and no sons. What about me? And so God says, here's what we'll do. The next closest relative that they will marry somebody in your family, and you will then share. And then when they give birth, that person will have the name who you are. So in other words, if I as a Davis passed away and Amy married somebody else who was a Smith, but they were a close relative, if they had a child, that child would be a Davis, even though technically it's a Smith, so that the family's name could continue and so that the property could be handed from generation to generation. Now, one of the ways that they do that was that they would take a deed and they would write out who is responsible for what the property was and describe the property and all that. And then they would roll it up and then they would seal it. On the outside of the seal, they would have the name of the family that could open it up. If you didn't have that last name, if you weren't a relative of that person, you could not crack the seal. Very, very important, because we later see in Revelation that there's a scroll that has some seals on it. And it says that they cried out with a loud voice, who can open these seals? Who is worthy? In other words, who is related to this person? Who can do this? And it's talking about redeeming mankind. Who can do this? And it says in heaven that there was none until the Lamb came out, which of course we know is Jesus Christ. And he claims mankind because he has the right as our kinsman redeemer to redeem us. Naomi had wisdom in that. She recognized immediately who this man was and what the potential was for her family. This was the way that they could be provided for. This was the way that they could be set right in society. Now, she had a very practical approach to this. In verse 22, she told him to go out and work at Boaz's field and only in his field. Because if you happen to go to someplace else, they may not treat you as well. They may actually harm you. Plus, it doesn't hurt for Boaz to keep seeing you. Very practical. Boy, you just watch, guys. Watch, ladies. I'm watching this with my daughter and her girlfriends. I watched this with my wife and her girlfriends when we were dating. Actually, before we started dating. The very night that I knew that I was going to ask her out, this is how this happened. I was at Tri-State Racquetball Club. I remember this. This is 1988. It's been a while. She was very young, a lot younger than me. I was at the pool having a great time. A couple of me and my friends were doing whatever we're doing in the pool. And you know how that is. You look over and you see kind of a cluster of young girls together. And then they're looking your way. That could be trouble. And one of them, an emissary, came over and said, what do you think about Amy? Now, Amy wasn't there yet. And I go, I hadn't really thought about her. She's not here yet. They're like, no, like, what do you think about her? And then, even in my deluded teenage mind, I go, oh. Not once, No, not once have me and a group of guys ever got it together and said, hey, let's go talk to Susie and how she feels about Bill. I don't know if we're just not smart. We don't have that gene. But you ladies do it just so and just natural and beautifully. And I'm thanking God that her friends that night came over and said, what about Amy? Because it is amazing. When Amy came in that night, she was different. And for the last few years, almost 30, I've been thinking about Amy. That's what Naomi's doing with Boaz. Boaz doesn't even know what's going on. And she's like, Ruth, huddle up. On three, go. So she goes back. And then he says, well, come on and have lunch with me. And I tell you what, you have Naomi at home. Here, take some more leftovers home and take some stuff home. And Naomi's like, oh, yeah, this is going really good. And then the shrewdness comes in. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. This is what it says. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, my daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now, Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be willowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, get dressed in your best clothes, go down to the threshing hold, but don't let him know that you're there until he has finished eating and drinking. Ladies, that's a good advice. Don't bother guy when he's eating and drinking. Then, when he lies down, we always got to take a nap. Then go over there and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. Boy, she's shrewd. That's a good thing, though. And of course, Boaz falls in love with her, and he asks her to marry, and they do the whole thing. Boy, motherhood, it's not for the faint of heart. It's not just apple pie and making nice things for them. I mean, it's really hard work, and it takes wisdom, and it takes some practicality, and it takes shrewdness. But the last thing that I think we can see in this story about motherhood is that the rewards often come later in life. There is a reward for this. And here's Naomi's reward. In chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, it says that the women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than 7 sons. Boy, that's a pretty good daughter-in-law, better than 7 sons. Has given him birth. He gave birth to a child. And Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. And the women living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. This was the blessing to her. Her patience, her loving kindness of her daughter-in-law paid off for her. There is a return. Ladies, I want you to hear this. Later in life, I know right now it may not seem like it. We pray that later in life, if you have done your due diligence and you have prayed and you have led them, and as we dedicated these babies earlier today, as we raise them in the way that they should go, they will not turn left or right. They will follow the Lord, and they will honor you when you get older. My mom is praying that for a long time. And she has raised two amazing kids and one that turned out okay. And now as a father, I know that Amy, I hear her, she prays for our kids. And when she prays, it is a special kind of prayer. And there will be a reward. And here's the neat thing, the amazing thing about Naomi's story. It's a woman whose husband died, whose sons died. In all accounts of the economy of the time, she should have been homeless and desolate, but instead, she is blessed beyond measure, and she gets redeemed, and she has a son. She has a grandson by the name of Obed, who has a son named Jesse, who also then has a son named David. And many of you may know that guy. Ruth gets into the story of Christ because down the generations from David on, we reach Jesus Christ, who is the kinsman redeemer of us all. Motherhood is a thing that we should very much challenge ourselves to value every day, not just once a year. I know you guys do, right? All the kids in here, you guys cherish your mothers, right? You challenge them, I know, but do you cherish them? I got a couple of like, All right, if you're under 18 and I say, do you cherish your mother? I want you all to say amen, okay? Under 18, you got that? Do you guys cherish your mother?
Amen.
Wow, let's practice this again. When I say you cherish your mother, you're supposed to say amen. That's a sign of affirmation. Do you cherish your mother?
Amen.
Wow. Okay. You got 100 likes on your Snapchat. Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't get a really big on amen on that one. Do you cherish your mother?
Amen.
All right. We got a... almost resounding view on that. All right. Wow. We are going to work on this, guys. Here's the good news. You have all the rest of the day to make up for that really lackluster amen. I'm just going to tell you right now. You better be serving her, washing the dishes, taking the trash out. I mean, I want to hear some good reports by next week. Amen. Now the moms are getting an amen. Preach it, brother. Wow. Moms, so important. And God was so wise in setting up motherhood. And it is so amazing to me. And he did that in this particular story because he wanted to one day have his son come to this earth. And the reason that he wanted to do that was, as I already mentioned, to be our kinsman, to redeemer. And how did he redeem us? How did he take claim to us? He had to go to someone else who was already laid claim to us. And that was Satan. All of us who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Jesus said, all of you are children of Satan. You are an enemy of God. But our precious kinsman redeemer went to him and negotiated and took claim for us. And his payment was much more than an exchange of a sandal. It took a cross and 3 nails, a grave, and a resurrection. And today we're going to celebrate that. And we're going to remember that great kinsman redeemer by the giving and receiving of communion today. And so at this time, those of you who are going to be participating and serving communion, if you guys would come forward. We're going to remember our precious, precious Jesus, who loved us enough that he went to the cross, that he went to the grave, and that he waits today to come and take us home. Now, in just a moment, we're going to pass the elements and if you have never had communion with us, we invite you to enjoy it with us by just receiving the elements and waiting until the end. And then we will instruct you to take them. But right now, I want us to take a moment to prepare our hearts. If you would bow your head and pray with me. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much that you loved us, and that while we were yet sinners, that you still died for us. Today, as we take this communion, we do it reflecting back on your sacrifice and looking forward to your return. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. the night that Christ was betrayed, he sat down with his disciples, his closest friends. And he told them, I'm about to go to the cross. He says, this bread that I break is in remembrance of the body that will be broken for you. Let's take. Likewise, he took the cup and he said, this is the blood that would be poured out to enter into a new covenant. Let us take a remembrance of that new covenant. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for all of the blessings that you give to us through our mothers, through their love, through their passion, through their wisdom, through the practical things that they teach us in life. And God, thank you so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to show us what true and ultimate sacrifice and ultimate love looks like. So today, as we take communion, let us remember and look forward to the future when you return. In the meantime, God, may we love you, and may we be authentic in that love, and may it begin by loving each other. For if we can't love each other, how can we love you? So today, thank you. And may we show our love and appreciation for you by showing love and appreciation for those closest to us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.